Good day to you. God bless you. Say welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour. Back in our Father's Word, the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verse 17. We're going to pick it up here in a moment. Remember, the book of Proverbs is a book of comparisons, telling you what happens if you're bad and telling you what happens if you're good. And mainly, it's wisdom that calls. And the very first step of wisdom is to love our Father, because all wisdom comes from Him. And it's far better to have His blessings in your life than to be out on your own. And basically, in this third chapter, we're down to the 17th verse, it's wisdom calling, and you need to listen to her. And put her in your forehead, keep her there, and lock the truths of God's Word away there. It's the seal that keeps Satan from bothering you. That's how important it is. So, having said that, a word of wisdom from our Father, verse 17, and it reads in chapter 3. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. If you walk with wisdom, you know where to go and where not to go. You know how to be blessed and how not to be blessed. It's your choice. Okay. Verse 18. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. But you don't just grab wisdom and then turn loose of it. Retain it. Hang on to it. What is this tree of life? Well, you had two in the garden. You had the tree of life, and you had the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, meaning Satan. The tree of life is Christ. If you've got Him, hang on and partake of that tree. We're going to have that tree with us, as it is written in Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 and 2, forever, spiritually speaking. And so, hang on to it. Don't take it lightly. Verse 19, the Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, and He settled it. It came into being. He spoke and nothing became everything. By understanding hath He established or prepared the heavens. No big deal to Him. That's your Father we're talking about. And He uses wisdom Himself, so why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you partake of wisdom rather than the ways of the world? Verse 20. By His knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. Now, many times there's translations that I'm not going to let stand, because there's never dew when it's cloudy. Okay? It's got to be a clear night. So the word cloud should be translated sky. Okay, and He did prepare the depths that would hold the water of the firmament when it came down. He formed that. And also, the dew is real special. It's the purest summer. When the atmosphere is clear and pure, it's the clearest and purest water there is for one to partake of. Verse 21. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. In other words, what is it you're not supposed to let depart from your eyes? Wisdom and discretion. When you absorb wisdom, that causes your discretion to choose properly, to choose right, to choose the tree of life rather than the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, to know right from wrong, and to know the payday thereof, that is to say, what the wrong brings you and what the right brings you, because you always reap what you sow, period. Okay? And our Father giving you advice here, and this is wisdom calling out, it's yours to partake of. Verse 22, so shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. And of course, neck being the weak spot of the body, and when they'll protect you, and it gives life to your soul, nephesh, which is your eternal soul, meaning you live forever. Or you can take the trip that goes to the pit. Not advisable. Not a good track. Not a good way. the tree of life is our way, meaning Christ is our way. He is our path. Stay on it. Okay. Take the right track. Verse 23. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. You're not going to go into that slippery slope that causes your life to spin out of control. You're going to have everything under control, and that wisdom will cause you to walk safely. Why? Because wisdom prepares you for whatever might happen. Man only fears the unknown. And man prepares to be able to protect himself and especially his family regardless of what goes down. You don't have to depend on anyone other than God himself necessarily. You can handle it. You can take care of it. Why? Because you've got wisdom. Well, what are you saying? How would wisdom stop a burglar or a murderer from breaking into your home? Well, wisdom tells you to have the fortification to blow away a murderer. Okay, you don't have to worry about him. He's out of here. Okay, wisdom lets you protect your home, always obeying civil law of the land and the county, state, area in which you live, city. Verse 24. But at the same time, wisdom always gives you an equalizer. You don't have to worry about it. You can stay safe. That's God's promise. He said it. He meant it. Verse 24. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. And so it is when you have wisdom. You have to understand what's entailed within that. Wisdom tells you how to find good health. This healthy as possible, or to take care of even an illness as best you can. And to take care of the fact that if the ultimate for every Christian or person that loves Almighty God is to be with Him ultimately when that time is right and when that time comes. So you know that's where you're going. You're not going down that slippery slope because your path doesn't go that way. It's not in your program. Therefore, you can rest real good because you know that God will never leave you nor forsake you, and how sweet it is. Verse 25, be not afraid, or you don't need to be afraid of sudden fear, neither of desolation of the wicked when it cometh. And for us here in the end times, that's the abomination of the desolation. And that is the appearance of the Antichrist. We don't have to worry about it one iota. Why? We've got power over them in Christ. Christ gives us that power. We have read the book of Revelation with discretion and with understanding. We know what Revelation chapter 9 verse 4 says. It says that if we have placed in our mind this wisdom, this truth of God, which is called the seal of God, that Satan has orders, he can't touch us simply because he cannot deceive us. Well, how is it he can't deceive us? We've got wisdom. We know he's coming. We know who he is. And we know he's a loser. He's a dead man walking. Okay. And you're one with eternal life, with the blessings of Almighty God. This sudden fear means one that it comes up, and it could even be translated that the wicked do not realize how suddenly they're going to be taken by the desolator. Okay. Verse 26. For the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. He's not going to let somebody trip you up. He's not going to let that slippery slope take you in. Why? Because you're on the right path. You're on the right way. And you can place your confidence in Him because His Word is true. And you know it's true, and if you've received any of His blessings, you know and understand. He loves His children that follow Him. He loves His children that stay on that right path. He loves his children that follow and accept that tree of life. Verse 27. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. In other words, if it's possible, and what this should read is, withhold not the good from the owners thereof. In other words, meaning they own it, meaning they deserve it.
Okay.
And if somebody deserves a good favor, see that they receive it. Okay. What they have, don't try to outdeal someone of that is just. Okay. This does not have anything to do with forming a contract. And a wise person, wisdom again, speaks here. You have to let whoever is doing the work of a contract make a living. That's only fair and right. And it's his. It's his right. But then there's nothing wrong with holding to that contract either. That's wisdom. But just do everyone as you would have them do unto you. And if they're fair people, and that's really the only people you should be doing business with is fair people, but certainly you do the contract to make sure they stay fair. Okay? That's wisdom. 28. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give when thou hast it by thee. When you have that to share or whatever is owed, then it's there to be given to him. Pay him. Okay. Do it then. Don't put it off or detain it. This shortcuts usury or any other type thing that might be applied. Verse 29. Devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. There's never anything quite as valuable as a good neighbor. A good neighbor is your watchman when you're on a trip. A good neighbor is one that looks after your property when you're not there. A good neighbor is one that reports something unusual going on your property when you need to know, and vice versa. Always get along with a neighbor, and as Paul would teach in the New Testament, if it be possible. There are some people that it's not possible. And that's why I say, if you've got a good neighbor, you're blessed. Okay. A good neighbor is a valuable person in your life that can bring you peace of mind. It helps you remain safe. And vice versa, goes both ways. That's what makes it such a sweet thing. So don't ever devise evil against a good neighbor. You'd be robbing nobody but yourself. Okay. Verse 30, strive not with a man without cause, if he have done thee no harm. No needless fights, okay, or arguments. Biggest waste of time in the world is to start an argument or be gruff with somebody when they're nice to you. That's terrible. A good Christian, that's not in his book. Verse 31. Envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. In other words, God abhors someone that oppresses the innocent. So don't be tempted to follow one of them. Don't be tempted to participate in anything that oppresses an innocent person when you know coming out the gate that God abhors it. Because you talk about getting stripped of your blessings. Well, I wonder why God did me that way. Well, don't envy. That means don't wish you had part of oppression. It's a big sin, in other words. Verse 32. For the froward is abomination to the Lord. This word froward is not the same word in the Hebrew that is most often translated to the English froward, or I should say transliterated. It's those who turn aside is what it means. It doesn't mean perverse. It means those that turn aside. Those that go into apostasy, so to speak. It's an abomination to the Lord to have someone love him and then turn to Satan, okay? But his secret is with the righteous. His secret what? The mysteries of God. The forming of the world, the first earth age. The very things that God brings us, the very things that God puts before us in the mysteries of his scripture. That is to say that wisdom, God's wisdom, brings us. He doesn't share that with someone that is froward in the sense that they turn aside real easy and start chasing some air castle, some false teaching. He just doesn't deal with people like that. He wants someone he can depend on. He wants somebody that stays on the right path if he's going to take the hardships out of the way for them. What it is he brings them into the secrets of his overall plan of salvation and of the consummation of this earth age. It's there for one to learn. It's there for one to absorb if they absorb the wisdom of God. So what do you have? You can either envy and follow those that God abhors, or you can receive the blessings of God and the secret, the inner part of his plan. He just does not share, you should be able to obtain from this, that God does not share the secret part of his plan with just everybody. I don't care if they go to church here or there or somewhere else. If they're not studying God's Word chapter by chapter and verse by verse, God's not going to give them the inner part of their plan. You don't have to talk to them long to find out. They know nothing about it. It is a disgrace that as simple as the first earth age is, the fact that it's written in God's Word, that most churches do not teach that. They do not. That's a disgrace. That the secret from the very foundation, back in this same chapter where it stated very clearly in verse 19, the Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath he established the heavens, plural, the first, second, and the third heaven. So the secret is in the wisdom of understanding God's overall plan. He does not share that with someone that goes with those that would turn aside the forward, those that will not receive wisdom. He just doesn't have time for them. They're his children. He loves them. He hopes they will come. It is his will that they do come to repentance. But he's not going to give away the jewels of the crown, that's to say the hidden wisdom, unless they deserve it. What's on the other hand, verse 33, the curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked. That's singular, the wicked one. Okay. But he blesseth the habitation of the just. God blesses the habitation, the house, this body that you live in, and your home, of those that are the just, that is to say the Zadok, or God's elect, those that know that secret part of God's plan, so to speak, that stay on that path, that God can trust and know they will stand against the false Messiah, that he can count on them to do exactly that, to stand against the wicked one, Racha in the Hebrew, knowing that that being Satan. Verse 35:4. Surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. That's to say the humble, those that are humble before God, that love him and let him know they love him. God just really scorns the scorners, those that snuff at his word. There is a day of judgment coming. And this is going to be very obvious at that time, of God's feeling toward one that is a scorner or froward, that turns aside at the least little wind. Verse 35, the wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of the fools. In other words, disgrace, to be disgraced before your family and the world, but most of all before your heavenly Father, the creator of your being, your soul. Glory is the Shekinah glory, meaning God dwells there. And God does love those that love Him. Otherwise, friend, it's disgrace. Those that turn aside, those that listen to malarkey, and rather than God's Word taught chapter by chapter and verse by verse. Don't be robbed. God sent you a letter telling you exactly how it should be. Chapter 4, verse 1, continuing. Hear, ye children, the instructions of a father, and attend to no understanding. That's discernment. Learn it and hang on to it. If you can't receive instructions, I can tell you where you're headed. Verse 2. For I give you a good doctrine, truth, in other words, okay? Forsake ye not my law. In other words, that's His Word. Hang on to it. 3. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. And there he was as a young child. Solomon was well loved. 4. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. That means live eternally. Not just in the flesh, but in eternal life. Verse 5, get wisdom. That is to say, learn to be wise. Get understanding. That's to say, using common sense. Forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Don't fall away from them and love the Word of God. It's a blessed thing. Verse 6, forsake her not. You cling to her. Hang on to her, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is one of the most precious things in the world because it comes from God. And God sends that wisdom to those that will receive it. Verse 7, wisdom is the principal thing. It's the first thing you want to get. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. That's to say, common sense or good judgment. Get it, hang on to it, and never turn loose of it. That gives you a walk with, if you're wise, naturally you know from where all blessings flow. And you're going there to receive them. That's what wisdom does for you. Wisdom keeps you out of trouble. You're not going somewhere where you can be in trouble. You're too smart for that, because wisdom gives you the knowledge and the ability to outsmart the wicked one. Verse 8, exalt her. I mean, hold her up. And she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. Hang on to wisdom. She'll do you real good. Verse 9, she shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Unmerited favor. Okay. You may not even deserve all that she gives you, but if you strive for it, she's going to give it to you. Verse 10, hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. This has a little deeper meaning in the Hebrew manuscripts. It says, as you grow older, my sayings will mean more to you. In other words, you will come to a clearer, better understanding. Why? Because the Word's pregnant. It grows. And as you grow, so does it. And you begin to have more wisdom with understanding. Verse 11, I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. It always will. It's so valuable. And when it says it's more precious than silver and gold, it's exactly that, my friend. Because if you have wisdom, all things come to you. Verse 12. When thou goest, thy step shall not be straighted, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. In other words, again, I'm going to correct the manuscripts a little bit. It says, if there's hedges in front of you, I'll take care of them. You know, old thorn hedges was pretty hard to get through. And he said, it's not going to slow you down. I'll open it up for you. Verse 13. And this is speaking spiritually and morally, okay? Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Truth, wisdom brings eternal life when you believe and follow the steps of God. 14. Enter not into the path of the wicked. Why would you want to go there? And go not in the way of evil men. Why would you want to take their path? Okay. They're coming, they have a terrible end. 15. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. Don't even go close to it. 16. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief. And their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. They get their jollies in hurting people. Okay. They just love to see it. They can't sleep unless they dream up some way to rip somebody off or hurt someone. 17. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. And, you know, there are people, we even have this in marriages, some 200-pound bully married to a little 100-and-some-odd-pound lady. He gets his jollies hurting her, beating on her. He's not a man, he's a wimp, a coward, that's afraid to take on a real man. Okay. They dream this stuff up to get their jollies seeing pain. Stay away from people like that. Satanic, miserable wretches they are. Okay. And people, likewise, in the business world, the same thing applies. Rip-off artist, greedy, rather than giving just due. Next verse, please. Verse 18. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more into the perfect day. That's to say, as the day comes up, that shining light still shines. You know, when the sun is straight up, it doesn't move too much at noon, and it's hard to get a sign from it, but the light's still there. What it's saying is, let yours be likewise. Always, because with light you don't have any darkness, and Satan is the prince of darkness. 19. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. In other words, old death, Satan himself, is who they stumble at. Accepting the false Messiah. How great is that going to be if someone accepts the first Jesus, that a person that calls himself Jesus, as it's written in Mark 13, it shouldn't be a mystery to anyone. It's written in most of the Gospels, all of the Gospels, I'll say, that the Antichrist comes before the true Christ. But most churches are rigged to accept the first Jesus that appears on this earth saying, I've come to fly you out of here. They're rigged for it, loaded and locked, ready on the right, ready on the left. Ready on the firing line. And certainly it's going to happen. Darkness, darkness, darkness. Get into the light of God's Word. Seek wisdom. Chapter by chapter, verse by verse, and you will not be deceived. Verse 20. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my saying. As it said earlier, you point your ears and stay focused on my word. 21. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. In other words, you settle on that word, and you that have eyes to see, you that have eyes to see and ears to hear into the secret operating of Almighty God, which is no secret at all. It's no mystery at all if you have wisdom and you understand God's word. Verse 22, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. That's just the way it is. Have you found it? It's right here. It's there for the taking, to absorb, to read. 23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. In other words, the source of outgoing life and giving comes from that heart and the mind, and absolutely the decision when it absorbs wisdom to keep you safe, okay, away from all harm, and the source of ongoing life, all right, is your very thought process, your soul. 24, put away from thee a froward mouth. This is a little different than that word froward I told you used before. And perverse lips, put far from thee. In other words, don't rattle off by some ratchet jaw would talk over here and then there. Stay with God's word. Okay? That is truth. It's a good doctrine. Okay. Verse 25, let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. In other words, don't be shifty, and don't look to this path, that path, or some other path. Stay on the path, and that path is Christ. 26, ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Don't fall in the pit. Okay, the abyss is there. It's for you to fall into if you choose. One more verse to complete the chapter. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. You stick on the path of Almighty God, the path that leads to His throne. Don't go right or left and, well, on this hand, this good brother, on that hand, that good brother. No. Right on. Straight ahead. The true doctrine of Almighty God. That's wisdom. She calls to you. She reaches out for you. Accept her. Embrace her. Hang on to her. She'll always treat you real, real good. All right. Bless your heart. You listen a moment. Won't you please?
The Mark of the Beast on CD is our free introductory offer to you. What is the Mark of the Beast? Many false teachers would have you believe it will be a tattoo on your forehead or a computer chip implanted under your skin. It is getting late in the game. You need to know what the Mark of the Beast is. As it's written in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, many will be deceived. There is no need for you to be deceived. Christ said in Mark 13:23, behold, I have foretold you all things. Jesus indeed told us how not to be deceived, and Pastor Arnold Murray takes you on a step-by-step study of God's Word concerning this critical subject, the mark of the beast. The telephone call is free. The CD is free. We don't even ask for the shipping and handling. It is free as well. All you need to do is call 800-643-4645 to request your one-time, one-per-household copy of The Mark of the Beast. You may also request your free CD by mailing your request to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Don't be deceived by Satan.
And back again. Let's have the 800 number, please. 1-800-643-4645. That number is good from Puerto Rico, throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, all over Canada. Spirit moves. You got a question, share it. As always, please never ask a question pertaining to a certain individual, reverend, or denomination, or religion, or organization. Let's don't judge people. Hey, our Father is judge enough. I guarantee you that. And that judgment day is coming. And that's what you enter by what's in the book, or right by your name. It's all there. And but He does love you. He sure does that. So those of you that listen by shortwave around the world, your announcer at the end of the hour will give you a mailing address. Always a pleasure. Got a prayer request? Do away with the number and the address. Why? God knows what you're thinking. You're His child. He created you unique. You're different than anyone else. And your fingerprints are different, and so forth. DNA. Why? He wanted someone just like you. And he does want you to love him. He deserves that. That's only right. Father, around the globe we come. We ask that you lead, guide, direct, Father. Grant us wisdom. We ask it in Yeshua's precious name. Touch in Yeshua's name. Amen. Okay, and we'll get into some questions here. Let's take Barbara from Maine. My question is, when we die in the flesh and we go to one side of the gulf or the other, isn't this a judgment as it is? Well, not really a judgment. You are judged by what's already written in the book for that time. In other words, that determines which side of the gulf you go on, and where the gulf is, we're referencing Luke chapter 16, where Jesus described paradise for us. You determine that. It's what you've done in your life, and what if you have repented, and if you love the Lord, I can tell you, you're going on the good side of the gulf. The divide, we'll call it, instead of a gulf here for a moment. But if you haven't repented and you've lived wickedly, you didn't seek wisdom, you're going on the other side. It's in the book. It's what you have done, meaning it's all up to you. Strictly, 100% up to you. There's no judgment to it other than what you've done. David from Massachusetts, where did Cain's wife come from? The six-day creation. God created all of the races on the sixth day. And he looked and it was good. He made some fishers. He made some people that would be hunters and told them to conquer the world, to work it, to fill it, to replenish it. And then he rested the seventh day, and on the eighth day he made Et Ha'adam, different Adam, and one that through which Christ would come. Ron from Vermont. Okay, I've been studying with you, your teaching, for over 10 years. The other day I was listening to the radio, and an announcer asked whether the rape of a child could be punishable by death. He asked people to call in with their comments. I couldn't believe the number of people that called in and more or less justified the action with all sorts of rational and reasons. This made me sick. I wanted to call and quote the scripture, but I couldn't remember where it was. Deuteronomy chapter 22, verses 25 through 26. The rape of the child or maid without her consent is the same penalty as lying in wait and taking as murder. Okay, supposed to go bye-bye, up to the father. That's biblical. Okay, Pat from Texas. Did I hear you correctly say that sassafras was good for high blood pressure? Well, no, I said, I believe my words were that some people like to drink sassafras tea for the purpose of thinning the blood a little bit, okay? That was my correct words. I said some people did. Now, have I ever actually researched and can chemically say that sassafras does this? No. But generation after generation after generation have gone out and dug sassafras root and drank, and it tastes good. You know, a lot of people might be surprised. A lot of people drink sassafras and they're not really familiar with, any time you're plowing out in the field and you happen to hit a sassafras root, you say, I smell root beer. Well, it's root, and they make beer out of it too, okay? It's sassafras. That's what, if you drink root beer, you've pretty well got the taste in one way of it. There you go. Gerald from Arizona. Also, I have a question, Pastor Murray. Is it wrong to pray to saints and ask to intercess for you? And are there any prayers to pray of bringing others to Jesus so he opens their eyes to his truth? Hey, don't ever read prayers of somebody else and don't go to some saints. You've got your Father. Why wouldn't you want to go to him? He's the one that accomplishes it. Why would you go off here in the boonies addressing some would-be when you've got the real thing? And why would you read some man's prayer when you're intelligent enough to talk to him? Say, Father, I want to help bring people to the Lord. Just tell him. He's real intelligent. Use your wisdom to talk to him. And you can pray an intercessory prayer if you want to. It's very real and very real. But go to the man. Go to our Father. Not somebody else. If you're not careful, you could get off into angel worship, which is bad sin. Okay, bad sin. Debbie from Pennsylvania. Does God say that we will heal us? He will heal us of physical illnesses if we ask it of him? My sister and I have the same problem, and we've been praying for a miracle for a long time. In Jesus' name, of course. Well, you need to go to James chapter 5, and the oil that you anoint with is olive oil. And you and your sister are elders, no doubt, because you're Christian. Then anoint yourselves with the oil of our people, asking Father to touch you and heal you. It is biblical. Read it for yourself. James chapter 5. Brad from Indiana. I'm 20 years old and I've been studying with you for about 3 years. Thank you. You're welcome. My question. On my free time, I like to play video games, but have been concerned over if I should stay away from some that are out today. I definitely agree with keeping kids away from a lot of games today, but should I also stay away from these two? Well, you know, I have the old saying, garbage in, garbage out. Okay. There are certain things that I do not find entertaining because it's pure garbage. Okay. If there's one thing about it, a lot of people, being a combat marine, okay, I'll just lay it out like it is. Marines don't run from war, but war is terrible. Okay. It's not a fun thing protecting this nation. It is never a fun thing to blow somebody away. Necessary, but not fun. But if a person had ever been in combat, they wouldn't play some of the dumb, stupid games that somebody that probably is a wimp and never practiced anything likes to video with, okay? For one thing, to make money, of course. But we live in a real world. Our real heroes right now are going through this. They're protecting this nation from terrorists. And it's not a fun thing. It's an honorable thing. It's a wonderful thing. And it's very difficult, unless you've been there, to understand and the very reality of it. So I am very much against garbage in, garbage out. And I think it sets a very bad example of playing blow 'em away. That's absolutely ridiculous. And that's my opinion. Anna from Kentucky. May God continue to bless you and your staff. He sure does. Thank you. In your personal opinion, what Trump are we in now? We're in the fifth, okay? The fifth is a time of teaching to prepare for the sixth. The sixth Trump is when the Antichrist appears. Now is the time to warn people the Antichrist is coming. Do you have a photographic memory? I ask this because I can never remember where anything is in the Bible, and you just spout book, chapter, and verse. It's amazing. Well, you got to, you know, God does bless us with a good mind to teach with if you have the gift of teaching. But at the same time, I've been teaching for over 55 years now. I haven't really counted. When you get past 50 years of teaching, you stop counting in some ways, okay? But naturally, the Word of God is to me like a novel. It's about one man's family from beginning to end and all the good people he comes in contact with as well as the bad people. It's a novel. of that one man's family, and through which Christ would come, of course, and the family being God's family. And that makes it real simple to remember when you do it that way. Linda, thank you. I appreciate that, but I have to give God the credit for it, okay? Linda from Massachusetts. I couldn't hear what you said about 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. Could you please repeat what the thorn given to Paul by one of Satan's angels, do you think that you know? Well, it was given by Father, and then he gave him a demon also to keep him in line. He had been to heaven. He saw what was happening there. And Paul had persecuted the church pretty severely. And I feel to keep him from having... Paul went way out of his way to let people... He didn't have the big head just because he had been to the third heaven. So to keep his feet on the ground, God gave him a thorn. I believe it was his eyesight, because he always had to have a scribe. The only time he wrote once is when he signed a book off saying, I'm going to sign this with my own hand. You'll recognize it because of the large letters. Why? Because he couldn't see small letters. That's my opinion. To call it an educated guess, if you like. But that was God. He did not need the shackles, I don't think, because he was a very humble man. But God gave it to him anyway. Emma from Florida. I know you say if you're able to tithe, then you can send love offerings. If you can't tithe, send love offerings or plant a seed. I don't understand how it goes, but could you please explain? Well, someone like yourself that's on a fixed income, I mean, I'm not going to take away, but I simply do not like people to do without their medicine or food, and have some preacher tell them they got to give 10% of what they have, when 10% old time was it went into the much of that you've already paid a tithe on when you earned it in the first place, because it's insurance, Social Security, that you're collecting. I don't like for our senior citizens to go hungry or do without medicine when just a love offering will get it done, okay? It'll bring God's blessings. Because if you don't have anything, you don't have anything to give. It's just that simple. I'll say it again. If you don't have anything, you don't... 10% of zero is, let me figure, it's zero, okay? But then if you have a love offering on top of that, it magnifies it, okay? It's a lot more in God's eyes, like the widow's mite, okay? So God bless you. I love you, and... I know, hey, I get letters from pastors that really scold me pretty severely for telling senior citizens that to not give a tenth of whatever it is they have. But I'm just going to tell it like it is. In the old days, the church was the government. And you had the 10% took care of the army, the food, and everything else. Well, now the church is not the government. Okay, and therefore, many of you give more than 10% already in taxes to the government. Now, don't mix oranges with apples here or anything else, but I'm just letting you know that sometimes when people tell you certain things, you need to think and use a little wisdom. And I know a lot of people would say, well, you're a strange, funny preacher because all the rest of them beg for money. Well, most of them beg for money, I'll say. Well, if you're really teaching God's Word, you don't have to beg, because God doesn't send out beggars. I guess it shows why we're not on too many Christian stations, huh? But that's the way God teaches. That's God's Word, and that's the way it is. 10% of zero, I don't care how you want to figure it, it's still zero. And if those that might think I'm trying to rob some pastor, hey, if you're teaching God's Word, God's going to see that you have what you need to operate, do His work. Period. Trust Him. Trust God, preacher, and you'll be a lot better off. End of subject. Anthony from Quebec. I'm just making friends and influencing people here today, okay? I'm trying my best every day to please God and to follow God's laws and not break any commandments. But may you please tell me if it's wrong that I am going to church on Sunday and not Saturday. Some programs that I watch indicate that I'm doing wrong by going to church on Sunday instead of Saturday. What is the Sabbath? Christ became our Sabbath. So you better be in Christ. What does Sabbath mean? It means rest. If you don't have Christ in your life, and if Christ isn't your Sabbath, you're never going to have any rest anyway. So you need to read Colossians chapter 2 and stop listening to man and listen to God's Word. Colossians 2, and also read Hebrews chapter 4 and break it back to the Greek just a little bit and understand what Sabbath is now, what Christ became our Sabbath. You better be in Him, not some day of the week. Millie from Texas, I need a blessing from the Lord to help my two adult children out of their needs along with my grandchildren and their children. For the past 12 years, I've been praying and asking the Lord, can you tell me why I can't hear from the Lord? Am I under a curse? Why can't I receive His blessing? Well, do you ever stop to think that maybe God doesn't want you to be an enabler for your adult children? You raised them. You fed them. They graduated out of the nest. Maybe God doesn't want you to take care of their problems right now. He wants you to rest and be happy for a while. Okay? Doesn't want you to be an enabler. Well, they're in debt. Well, and I don't know if your children are in debt or not. They're the ones that got in debt. It's very good for people to mature and work their own problems out. And do you know the best thing you can give them isn't money, it's wisdom, advice on how to stay out of usury. So I don't know, you're asking God a pretty big question there. It might really spoil your two adult children if you solve all their problems, okay, in giving them blessings. And I think you're talking about finances. Give them wisdom and give them the Lord. It's the best gift. It's the most valuable treasure there is. Show them, you know, you can give a man a fish and he can eat today. You can teach him how to fish and he'll eat from now on. So let your children grow up. Are you sure they're adults? And I'm not in being insulting here. I'm saying, let them fly on their own, Mama. Okay? Mothers are beautiful, beautiful people. I'll tell you for sure. They will take on the weight of the world, but they'll be fine. Okay? They'll be fine. Elmer from Ohio was the same soul and spiritual body in the first Elijah, and second in John the Baptist, and the third in the Elijah of the end times. No. I want you to go to Luke 1:17. It didn't say that John the Baptist was Elijah. It said that God used him and led him in the spirit of Elijah. The same spirit that led Elijah led him. Okay? God doesn't mix up souls. You get one, that's it. Okay? I don't care what body you're in. You've only got one soul. But God can allow the Spirit, His Holy Spirit, to come on many people. Laureen from New Jersey, when we are delivered up for the 10-day trial in front of the Antichrist, what happens to us after the 10 days? Will we be able to go home? Most likely. Most likely. Whatever you say, even the gainsayers will be convinced. That's written in Luke chapter 21. So I think if you understand properly, once you get up and get through letting the Holy Spirit speak through you, they'll be wanting you to go home. Okay? They'll be wanting you to go somewhere. And as much as they're playing Jesus, they can't really do too much to you, can they? Or it would show up for what they truly are. Karen from Missouri, when the Antichrist returns, will people be traveling to actually see him? Because I thought that he would not be in physical form, since it is just his spirit that is here on earth. Would you help me to understand this better? Yeah, I can help you understand better. Read Revelation chapter 12, verses 6 and 7. He gets kicked out of heaven, not just the spirit, physically, his whole body. He's here in person, de facto. And you will be able to see him. And he very definitely is pretty boy. Okay. God stated in Ezekiel 28, hey, I made you the full pattern. I mean, he's a looker. Okay. He's what a lot of people in this generation would call a hunk. Okay. And yeah, there'll be people going to see him. A lot of people will think he is Christ. Fine, because they're ignorant of God's word. That's why, and I'll be out of time. I'll catch that one in the next lecture. I love you all because you enjoy studying God's word, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. Most of all, though, your Father loves you for it. Okay? It makes his day when you study the letter he sent to you to bring you wisdom, understanding, the comparisons of what can happen to you if you follow the bad path and what happens to you if you follow the good. Totally your choice. Why? Because he loves you. That's the way he operates. Makes his day. We're brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we've helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Once you do that, bless God. He will always bless you. Most important, though, hey, listen to me carefully. You stay in his word. Every day in his word is a good day, even with trouble. Do you know why? Because of the rebirth.